Okay, money and work, areas where not just men, but women also feel a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and we have strong emotions, and it's difficult to believe that others face the same pressures and problems we do. For both, not tipping over, I think it boils down to how we answer two questions. Where is your identity? And does God care about your everyday life? We're going to begin with the pressures of finances, what will take the pressure off. I know what you're thinking, having a lot more money, that'll take the pressure off, that'll sort it, but it doesn't. So let's start by considering money in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34, and Naomi's going to read that to us. So if you want to come here, Naomi. The demands we accept. It may be about luxuries you treasure, but maybe it's about what you need. Some of us are thinking, I haven't got enough to feed my children or to get them a school uniform. This passage is for you. For those worried about the bills, and apparently that's over half of us, Jesus says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus isn't saying food and clothes don't matter or you don't need them. He's saying wise up, freeing ourselves from money worries. It's about really knowing our God, our Heavenly Father. So what are we missing? Because we do worry, don't we? He asks us a question in verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You can't, can you? People are always telling me, if you eat a bit better or drink a bit less, it'll add 10 years to your life. Apparently worrying won't add a single hour. That's what it says here. And then Jesus tells us how we can stop worrying. Take a promise like verse 33. The gist of it isn't you live a perfect life and God will provide. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is get to know what God, your Heavenly Father, is really like. Then you will stop worrying. It's not about how good you are. It's about the value we place on our relationship with God. Treasure that. Look at verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Does that sound a bit short-sighted? Or is it just a platitude, a nice consoling thought that actually doesn't mean anything? Or does it pour truth into our lives, the truth that sets us free? The truth that stops us tipping over when you hear news that makes you think, I might lose my job. I don't want you to get the wrong impression from looking at this passage. Sometimes God does bless us material. In fact, he does bless me materially a lot of times, every day. But even when he doesn't, he's still God, and he gives us the strength and grace for the tough place that we're in. We're still his children, part of his great family, even when we don't get the Christmas present we wanted. 12 times in this chapter, Jesus refers to God as our Father. Knowing how much he loves us stops us worrying, stops us tipping over. I know this area of money is a prickly one. We always think others have it easier. Today, I'm speaking to you as someone who has more going out than coming in. When I retired 10 years ago, my budget was okay. I had enough. It was okay. But now it's different. My expenditure has completely outstripped my income. What advice would you give me? Good thing about this church, we have a debt counselling service.
Maybe I'll need to use it. Christians Against Poverty, CAP. Gareth, he's very much involved in that. So if you want to put your hand up, Gareth, if you want to ask about debt problems, ask Gareth. I come back to this. What advice would you give me? Should I focus on the apocalyptic warnings of the manager of the Bank of England? No, I'll just get disheartened. Jesus instructs us, focus on our generous, caring God. Be secure in your identity as his child. That's what we've been singing about. It's who I am. That's what we were singing, his child. Who says so? He does. We must grasp God is bigger than the cost of living crisis, owns more than the Bank of England, and cares for us more than anybody else on this planet. Trust him. Okay, that's the spiritual bit out of the way, but I'll still have to review my budget. Maybe we all do, but we don't want to, do we? We don't want to give up those things that we've come to expect as normal. But sometimes we have to. Why is it we get so anxious about money? Here's a few verses about money. They challenge our thinking and our culture. Acts 20, verse 35. Giving is more fun than getting. Give 10% of your income, that's what you earn, not what you've got left over. I guarantee you'll be happier. That's what this verse says. Now, I taught, amongst other things, maths for 40 years. Well, 25 years. And then I spent 40 years earning and giving. And I can guarantee you 90%, funnily enough, goes further than 100%. It always does. Matthew 16, 26. What does it profit to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You are more important than all the money in the world. What is it Jim Elliot said? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. James 1, 17. This is a common misconception. Every good gift comes from your Father in heaven. So if you're one of these lucky people who feels I've got plenty of money, it's not because you deserve it. It depends largely on where you were born, who your family were, what talents you've got. And you didn't earn any of those things, did you? Every good gift comes from your Father in heaven. 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who doesn't provide for his family's needs denies the faith. The state, the church, these are resources we should depend on. But they're not responsible, according to this verse, we are. Now, I think you're seeing some of these things are a bit contentious, a bit prickly. They don't go down with our culture or our thinking. Proverbs 22:7. The borrower is slave to the lender. Owe no man anything but love, says Romans. Debt enslaves. Avoid it as much as you can. And here's a verse I learnt this week. Proverbs 28:19. I like it in this version, the Message version. Work your garden. You'll end up with plenty of food. Play and party. You'll end up with an empty plate. A friend of mine said in his experience in this country, people are without money, not because of how they earn, but because of how they spend. I think I agree with him. Now, I've got these verses on a sheet at the back, or if you want, take a picture of them, and you can go away and disagree with me. You can disagree with my comments. I don't think we can disagree with God's word. Now let's look at the tipping point pressure of work. Once again, it's related to the two questions mentioned at the beginning. I'm not even trying to talk all about a balanced biblical view of work and money. That's far too big to do in one talk. But these two areas do have something in common. Not tipping over depends on where your identity is and does God care about your life at work. When someone asks us, what do? We don't say, I brush my teeth. Or I play pickleball at the leisure centre. We don't say that, do we? Culturally, we respond with what our job is. We equate what we are with our job title. Even when you're retired, you identify yourself with the job you left. I was a production manager. Funny, isn't it? We're all managers and leaders and CEOs. That's how we present ourselves. My official title was actually blanks controller. But it doesn't sound as impressive as production manager. So I know what I tell people. You see, I'm making the mistake of wrongly putting my identity into my job. After industry, I went on to be a teacher for 25 years. Not just any old teacher, a physics teacher and a housemaster. I've got to stop saying that. Like all of us, I make the mistake of thinking I'm more important because of my job. Even the job I left 10 years ago. I've got to get over it. Whatever we tell others, we're much more valuable than our job. So what is the Christian view of work? Right back in the first book of the Bible, people are given work to do. It's an important responsibility. But if you think work is hard, don't just blame your boss. Blame Adam. In Genesis 3, God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life." That sounds hard. That sounds like the job I had. Work is hard. It's a fact of life for everyone. So what's the Christian view of work? There's more to it in the Bible than just saying it's tough, so endure it. I came across a Christian author called Tim Keller. He says work is God's way of taking care of the world. Now that's helpful, isn't it? Work is God's way of taking care of the world. He writes, "Our faith allows us to realize work is not our identity. Our faith allows us to value work so it doesn't bore us or consume us. And finally, our faith provides a moral compass to work so it doesn't corrupt us." I want to look at these statements. Realizing we're more than our job stops it killing us. The converse is also true. When you've lost your job, it's realizing you matter just as much. Now, for people like me, that's hard to grasp. I had a job where I was very successful in my 20s. I saved the company, in today's money, over £30 million in a year. I did so well, my boss got promoted. Well, I moved on and I worked for someone else. And I did really well in that. Lots of progress, people were impressed. And then I was sent on to do the same thing somewhere else. Then Maggie got ill for a year and I had to look after her. And I got ill for a year and she had to look after me. And by then, the patience of our organization ran out. I was told, time to move on. I really struggled that I wasn't needed. I made the big mistake of thinking I'm as valuable as my job. What a big mistake. I crashed and I burned because I needed to learn my value is in my relationship with God. I'm his child, a member of his royal family. My identity is in Christ and it doesn't change when I lose my job. Second point, our faith lets us value work so it doesn't bore or consume us. Remember, all work is God's way of taking care of his creation, his people and his world. How should we do our jobs, even our boring, repetitive jobs? Colossians 3:23 is such a key verse for working people. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. How do we do it in a way that honours God when everybody else is squeezed by the pressure of more profit? I know in today's world, even more than 10 years ago, there is a huge pressure to make profit at every level. And it can lead to integrity going out the window. Especially today, we need a strong moral compass at work. So what's the Christian way to be an airline pilot? Tim Keller says, land the plane. I would add, the Christian pilot doesn't have to do loop the loops or play hymns over the tannoy, just land the plane. What if your job's not so exciting? What's the Christian way to be a waiter? Wipe the crumbs up. Smile at the customers. Be interested in them without taking over their conversation. Do it as though Jesus were at the table. That's what Colossians 3:23 is saying. If work is God's way of taking care of his creation, we can value people whether they are airline pilots or waiters. This isn't part of our culture, is it? This is where we as Christians are different. We value people because they're made in the image of God. As Christians, we value each other because we're children of God. Anyway, my bin men are much more valuable than Alan Sugar and all his apprentices. My bin men certainly take care of God's creation, and they do a brilliant job. Let's finish with the second point. As with money, I believe we get to that tipping point because we forget God wants to be part of our everyday lives. We think God is here this morning, but he knocks off on Mondays. I'm here doing God's work this morning, but in my job on a Monday, I'm just there to make a living. That's how people think, isn't it? It's like God is involved in your spiritual life, but not your material life. Is that how you think, really? Does God really care about Monday to Fridays? Absolutely. He came to earth as a man. He was trained as a carpenter and worked and was known as a carpenter in a rough place called Nazareth. He wasn't sent off to a theological college in heaven. The second question, do you think God cares about what you do in the week? Does he want to be involved in what you do tomorrow morning as much as this morning? Ask yourself, what's your honest answer? Does he really want to be there with you? When you get on that phone or write that report, or if you're at home, change that nappy. It's still your job, isn't it? And does God want to be involved in those things as much as he is in your singing and praise this morning? Matthew 28:20, Jesus promised to his disciples, I'm with you always. Did he just mean at church? I'm with you in this room and that room and that room. But in your job, you're on your own. That's not what he said. In Deuteronomy 31:8, God promised his people what Jesus promises us today. God is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry. This wasn't a promise when they were in church. They were in a desert. The temple wasn't even built. Are you in a desert on a Monday morning? maybe through the shouting and swearing, through the loneliness of being at home, or the boredom of a repetitive job. What's he promise? I'm right there with you. We shouldn't forget that. I've had three very different careers spanning over 40 years. Every working person I've known has a long list of decisions, criticisms, injustices that they think are unfair. It's not just you. It's so much better if you can get over them. I had a colleague when I started teaching who went for an interview for a job I wanted. He thanked me after the interview. He said, "When I was in the interview, I was asked, 'What have you done at county level?' So I said to the interviewer, 'I'd written this course, Science in the Kitchen Using Computers.' 'But Sean,' I said to him, 'I wrote that.' 'That's why I'm thanking you,' he said, because he got the job. Sean, as you'd expect, went on to be a headmaster. If I met him today, we could talk about that story and laugh about it, because it's better that way. It's no good if it's eating me up over the last 20-odd years. Sometimes we have to accept that's how people are. We should recognize it because we're like that too. Don't let it spoil your life. You are more than your job title. If you don't want to tip over, keep your identity in Christ. Keep your value in being his family. And take him to work with you tomorrow. We're going to have a look at Psalm 139, which is something the kids did last week. It was written to some people. It was written, by someone at the tipping point. It ends with, "Know my heart, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me." This guy was hurting. God's answer? Well, it's funny, they're the last verses in the psalm, because all the previous verses are really saying, God's answer, I've already done it. I already know you inside out. He knows what's happening at work tomorrow, what you'll do well, how he can help you. He's right there with you. That's his promise. Let me encourage you this week. It's not take your kids to work week. It's take your Father, your Heavenly Father, with you. May I suggest you take three verses from Psalm 139 each day. Write them down, take them to work each day. Like Phil told us last week, let these words be on your lips. Let's take them with us through the week. Instead of tipping, you'll be secure in his presence, his power, and his provision. Take him to work this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we're your children when we take that step of faith and put our trust in you. Father, thank you that we're your children not because we feel it, but because you say we are. We thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for all you give us, all the material benefits, the spiritual blessings, but above all, thank you that you're here with us. Because you promised to be here, that you'll be with us here now, and you'll be with us all week, wherever we are, at work and at home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to respond now with